Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. With me today is my friend Arnaldo.
Hello.
Hey, Arnaldo. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Chad?
Not much, not much. Have you been paying attention to, like, the trade deadline and stuff?
I've been closely monitoring the Yankees, at least, and I've been paying attention to what's going on around the American League and a little bit of the National League. It was a little lame.
It was
deadline. I was hoping for a few blockbusters, or at least one big one, which you kind of got with Detroit and oh my goodness.
It was a three team deal.
Jake Peavy and the Red Sox, the White Sox, and the Tigers.
Which they needed a shortstop badly because Peralta is probably going to get suspended.
Yeah, and I've been waiting for that too. I can't believe I'm a little not that I have a right to be upset, but I'm a little upset that baseball wouldn't already hand out the suspensions before the trade deadline. I know they like tip teams off, so maybe that was their heads up. But that's where I was hoping to see some big blockbuster trades being made.
Yeah, but nothing in terms of the size of the deal. That's kind of gone away because now there's so many. I've heard a lot of people talking about because there's so many playoff spots available, so many teams think they're in it. Like even the Mariners, who are under 500 and, you know, are 8.5 games back, they still technically think they're in it. So a lot of teams are afraid to trade. And I've actually heard that some people are talking about maybe Major League Baseball moving back the trade deadline to like August 15th.
Oh, that would be a pretty cool thing to see.
Yeah.
I guess it gives a little more teams that are on a little more time for teams that are on the bubble to make that decision and chop some payroll.
Yeah, but I don't know why they didn't. Or at least had the foresight to really see this happening. But it was kind of a bummer of a trade deadline because I always look forward to this time of year because it's always exciting.
I remember refreshing MLB trade rumors at work like 2 years ago when the big Cliff Lee sweepstakes was going on in the off season.
That
time in the off season and that spring trade deadline in the summer, that's like prime time for baseball fans.
Oh, absolutely! There are like a couple of big events during the baseball season: opening day, the playoffs, and then the All-Star game, and trade deadline is one of them. And it's unfortunate that it hasn't lived up to its standard like this year and last year.
Yeah, well, we've got the non-waiver deadline in August, so maybe something will happen there. I'm a diehard Yankees fan, and I know 8.5 games back is a little much, especially when you got the Orioles, the Rays, and the Red Sox to look up to. I don't think the Yankees would concede the season so easily. But you never know. I think depending on what's going to happen with the whole A-Rod thing and how much money they can save, this is the wild New York fan in me, but I would love to see a trade where they pick up Michael Young, maybe give him a year extension, and Cliff Lee in a trade with the Phillies. Maybe you give up Jabba Chamberlain and Phil Hughes and a couple prospects. I don't know if that's a route they want to go, but if you're looking 8.5 games back in the AL East, and you're not willing to concede the season, I think you got to make some big moves.
Well, the Yankees for them, it's a brand, and if you don't have a high standard, even not just on the field, but if you don't have a high standard in what you show the fans. Because if you trade away people, a lot of fans will look at it as giving up. And, the ownership of the Yankees is not in that business to rebuild or start over or make it seem anything less than trying their best.
Right, right.
They did what they had to get Soriano. I think they had to get Soriano.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a nice compliment once Granderson gets back, he's a nice compliment for even a DH when he needs to give Lyle Overbay a day off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you're right. They're looking up at a lot of teams, not only in their division. The Indians and the Rangers are very. That's a very tight. That's going to be the most hotly contested wild playoff spots. Are the two?
Oh yeah, the
two American League wild card spots.
Oh yeah, the Indians are having a great season. The Rangers are staying in there. They picked up Matt Garza. I thought that was a pretty good move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think they're in a good spot. And like you said, there's a lot of teams. There's a lot of parity this year. So there's a lot of teams on August 1st who are still in the hunt. I think the NL East may be the biggest gap where you see the Braves are 11 games up. But otherwise, I think everything's a free for all.
Oh, absolutely. In the National League, like you said, I mean, in the East, it's far and away the Braves. No matter what the Phillies, Nationals, or even Mets do, they're not going to catch the Braves. That's just impossible in my belief. And then, really, the only other thing, because I honestly believe that the Dodgers are going to win the West. They're too hot. They've got too much going for them. I think they're going to win the West. It's just the Central, and in what order are they going to finish? Because all three of those teams are going to make it.
I'll be honest, I would love to see Pittsburgh come out NL champions. They've been an exciting team to watch, and they've been a heartbreaking team to watch for the last couple of years. But I mean, you've seen it like right around the All-Star break. It's there's that question about whether or not they're going to finish 500, and they're well over 500 right now. And I think they're a hot team. So I would love to see the Phillies. I mean the Pirates in the World Series.
Yeah, the Pirates. I don't know if I'm ready to say they'll go to the. It would be nice to see them in the World Series. First of all, that's a beautiful park. Haven't been there before. I definitely recommend going. But the city, you know, it can be a great baseball town, and you want to see that happen for them. I'm not ready to say they'll win the NL championship, but I think I might see the Dodgers and the Pirates in the NLCS.
That sounds about right.
Yeah,
the Dodgers have some nasty pitching, and right now with Yasiel Puig coming in, he really kickstarted that team, and they're exciting to watch too.
Yeah.
It's almost like you put it on and you forget the last time they lost.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. And Kershaw in a short series, I don't think he would lose. He's too good. I think in the American League, again that wild card is really tough. I think. I'm very tempted to say the Rays, the Tampa Bay Rays, might not make it in the wild card game. I don't know if they'll make it or not, but I have a feeling it might be the Orioles and somebody else, or the Red Sox and somebody else for the wild card game. I don't know how, because the Red Sox look really good, and good for them to rebound after last year, but I don't know how far they can go in the postseason.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think I think you're right. I think depending on whether the Rays would have home field advantage in that wild card game,
mm-hmm.
would be a huge advantage. I think if you have a one wild card game in Tampa, you know, they've got more than 50-50 shot of winning that game.
Absolutely. I'm a little nervous for the Tigers, because I'd love to see the Tigers between Verlander, Miguel Cabrera, Prince Fielder, and Jim Leland. I'd love to see them go back to the World Series and finally win one, because they've been 0-2 in the last, what is it, 8 years?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a feeling that they might go again, but I don't know. It's really tough to call in the American League.
Well, and you got the same thing with the Dodgers. You know, you have Verlander and Fister in a short series. And that's a tough 1-2.
Very much so.
And
yeah.
Scherzer, you know, they're a tough rotation over there.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, they showed the Yankees that last year when you mute an offense that's number one in production, that says a lot about your rotation.
Absolutely, pitching is what does it, and pitching, defense, and timely hitting—that's all you really need.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm excited for that, and I know training camp started again for football. I think the Hall of Fame game is like this week or something.
Oh, very cool.
So football is going to be back on the brain of many of us.
I gotta say, I'm a big Madden guy. Once football season starts.
Oh yeah.
I'm with. Well, you know, I'll be honest, and this is why I stay out of a lot of football conversations. I'm a player guy, and I don't know. You know, I know that sits weird with a lot of people. I'm also a Yankees and Mets fan. So, you know, a lot of people call, you know, bull on me for that one. But I grew up loving a lot of players. So I grew up a Jets fan with my dad, and then, you know, we watched the Giants in the Super Bowl. in the 90s, and then again when they faced the Patriots, and I was a big Drew Bledsoe fan when they went to the Super Bowl against the Packers, and so I just kept watching, and once Tom Brady came, I was like, I was sitting there watching the Pats every Sunday. But now that, you know, there's been a lot of drama and a lot of excitement around the Jets, so I try and keep in touch with that. And but otherwise, you know, I enjoy watching the game. But I'm
hey, there you go. Well, who would you consider like a player that you're following right now, Brady or someone else?
Well, I think Brady's always exciting to watch. I'm excited to see what's going to happen with Cam Newton. He's had an excellent first two seasons. And I, you know, would love to see if he can take the Panthers, you know, get him a winning season.
Yeah, he's very exciting. Cam Newton, he's a really good player, and he just needs a lot of the surrounding pieces to him really come together for that to be a successful team.
Yeah, I think one thing I always enjoy about football is, you know, you have your dominant team. It's nothing like baseball. You know, any team can really come out of a season looking great and win the Super Bowl any season. I'm excited to see what RG3 is going to look like after knee surgery.
Mm-hmm.
See if he can bring the Redskins back. It'll be a good season.
Yeah, that NFC East is always an interesting division, but especially this year, the Giants coming off a losing or a non-playoff making season, RG3. Philly with the new coach, and then the Cowboys as always. So yeah, everybody says it's the toughest division. Even if it isn't, it's always the most interesting division.
Yeah. Who do you think comes out of that one?
Oh boy, that's tough. I don't think Philly will do it right away. I think Chip Kelly needs a season to get his feet under him. Yeah, I think you might have to say the Giants.
I was thinking the same thing. I think they, especially in the last 5 years, you know, it seems like they perform even better when you count them out. So I think having a losing season under their belts is going to kickstart them. And you know, even if they start slow, I think they finish strong and make it to the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, Coughlin keeps them honest. Coughlin. He definitely make sure they realize what they're up against and what's in front of them. So, yeah, that's interesting. I'm definitely interested in the football season, but I like baseball until, you know, the preseason's over with. Like once that's over, then I'm pretty much fully, especially with the way the Mets play, I'm fully invested in football. But then I have the Jets, and you know, it makes for a really cold winter a lot of times.
There you go.
So, all right, well. Arnaldo, I really appreciate you coming on.
You got it, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, dude.
All right, thank you.
All right, not a problem. Before I go, getting back to the trade deadline, I just want to quickly talk about something pertaining to the Major League Baseball trading deadline, specifically with the Mets. You know, they held on to Marlon Byrd, who is 34, 35, so he's a little past his prime. He's having a great season this year, and behind David Wright, he's our best hitter. And I understand by trading him, again, it would signal the end of the Mets season. They're technically not out of it, but it's very unlikely that they'll be able to jump back into the wild card race and even the divisional race. So to hold on to Byrd, and really what they wanted to try to do is recreate the Carlos Beltran trade, where they traded him 2 years ago to the Giants, and they got Zach Wheeler in return. And obviously that's been very exciting for them, and as a fan, very exciting as well. But you can't expect for that to happen again, especially when teams know this. They know that you made out like a bandit the last time. So they're going to understand that, and they're not going to want to give up a great piece like that again and have that happen all over. So I think it's silly for them to hold on to Marlon Byrd. And one place that he could have gone was the Rangers. The Rangers, I was reading, were willing to listen to a deal for anybody. Now, that could include Elvis Andrews, their shortstop who signed through at least the next three seasons. The Mets need a shortstop. They're piecemealing their shortstops together. Ruben Tejada and Omar Quintanilla. Just trade for Elvis Andrews, for Marlon Byrd. Maybe get a prospect or two, but it doesn't have to be a top of the line. And because the Rangers have a shortstop in waiting, his last name is Profar, they would be dealing from a position of strength by giving up Andrews. Thank you very much for listening to another episode of my podcast. You can like us on Facebook at Everyman Sports. You can find us on iTunes. Look in the iTunes store and search for Everyman Sports. You can also email me at everymansports@gmail.com. That's everymansports@gmail.com. Or you can also visit my website, everymansports, one word, everymansports.podbean.com. Thank you very much for listening, and talk to you soon.